All right, Sunday morning, 8:25-24. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. We're going to look at the parables of Jesus in this word. Just one parable, really, but this may be some more coming. But anyway, it's the parables of Jesus. That's what I titled it. I want to have another look at the wedding supper. You know, the Lord had me bring it up again a few weeks back. We're going to look at it again today. I said, Lord, you keep bringing this up about the wedding supper. Turn with me to Matthew 22. I like the words the Lord gives me. It's not like, I don't prophesy like people that prophesy eloquently and all of that stuff. The Lord has me break it down and teach from it. These are His precepts. Line upon line, precept upon precept, you know. I learn a lot when the Lord begins to speak these things to me. I'm learning also. All right, this is 22, starting with verse 1 there. This is Matthew 22. Jesus spoke in parables. We know that. In fact, I brought that up on the broadcast this morning about parables, about the three women. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, which a parable is an analogy. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants again, telling them which were bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Marriage is a union between a man and a woman. In this case, it's the union between Christ and His church. We all have our garment. Ephesians 5. Jesus taught the kingdom of God. He taught what we're fixing to experience. All right. Some of us have to a certain degree. All right. This is 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church, for the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, he's talking about we are of his flesh, of his bone, right? We are Him. We're the body of Christ. We're the body in the earth. He is the head. Okay? Go back to Luke now. We're going to start with 16. And one of them that settles, well, 16, okay. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full or filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there were great multitudes with them, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first to consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath an ear, let him hear. So what's Jesus saying here? There is a cost. There is a price to pay to be part of his plan and what he's doing. It's not a flippant thing. It's not something to be taken lightly. All right. John chapter 10. He's saying count the cost. So many are just not willing. Some of it is church leaders' fault, but you know, I was telling someone earlier this week, when God's called you to do something, you can't depend on anybody else. I tried to tell them, I said, when I first started this, there wasn't nobody else. I had to do what I had to do to obey the Lord. And I said, he was not holding anybody else accountable. He was holding me accountable to do what was in my hand to do. And I had to do it. That's what I was telling them. I said, you are the only one between you and God, your call. It's between you and Him, not anybody else. And He will give you the means to do so, whether apparent or not, He will. Yeah. All right, John 10. He has a way, and He's not going to vary His way. For anybody's opinion or anybody's inconvenience, it's going to be His way, or it's not going to be any way. You know, if Christians would go into it with a more, it's like with a marriage covenant. When you go into it knowing you're in it for the long haul, death do you part, Well, that's the way it is to be a Christian. You're in it to follow the Spirit and do what He's told you to do. Not just, well, I got saved, so I'll go out and live like a whore or whatever I want to do. Hello? We know so several of those. You know, I don't restrain myself. I just sleep with whoever, do whatever I want, or take drugs or whatever. No big deal, but I'm born again. If you think that's going to get you in the door, think again. There's more to it than just that. For whoever might be listening to this, this applies to. Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, shall not be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So this is not a nonchalant, do what you want. I go to get blessed, and I don't do anything else. I don't crack my Bible, but I might watch Lifetime movies all day long, every day, and, you know, get mad at you if you tell me I need to read my Bible. Oh, I don't have time, or you can't already keep them awake for 30 minutes in church, but they'll watch Lifetime movies all afternoon. And I'm telling you, if Lifetime the way it was when I used to watch it, it ain't good. It's not good. We see two groups here, those that are not willing and those that are willing and those that are imposters. Those that do not have on a wedding garment are easily recognized, for there is not any union. They're just a stranger. It's like the ones at the door at the last word. Well, I'm sorry, the door's shut. You waited too little too late to come in. All right, Revelation 19. Remember, we're talking about the wedding supper here. All right, verse 1 there. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, these are the true saints of God, and I fell at his feet to worship. He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. This is the marriage here. Who's his bride in the earth? Who is he defending? Who is he rescuing? He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great King, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, the flesh of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them, and had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive to a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant which were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The Battle of Armageddon is the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know I've argued with some people about this one. One in particular. Well, what about the marriage supper? Well, I took them to this passage. No! It's where you go to heaven for 7 years while it's hell on earth down here and you eat for 7 years. No. No. All right. This is a supper like no other. We will witness the destruction of all the imposters, those coming in some other way, and of those that were not willing to pay the price. I believe we're at the door, just like in the days of Noah. There's a dividing line. Now, I read to you the parable of the sower. Not the parable of the sower, the parable of the virgins. We're going to go back. I'm going to read the rest of that. This is Matthew 25. All right, we're going to start here with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. It's just so hard to be a Christian. It's just so hard. Where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money into the exchangers, and then by coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath ten. For every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, not a good picture. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him he shall be gathered, he shall gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Now, this does not mean that we got to go do all of these things. It means everyone's given what they're to do. And you do what God tells you to do. You may feed the poor. Or you may be someone that does something else for God. Naked and you call me, but as a body, when each part does their part, we fulfill the whole thing. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them, On the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Like I said, it's your responsibility before God. Whatever he tells you to do, and whatever he tells you to do, do it. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I remember Brother Hagin talking about a lady that was, I think she was in her 80s, and she had been sick for a long time. And she confessed to Brother Hagin that God called her early in life to be a missionary or something like that, and she was never willing to do it. And that's why she felt like she never got well. She'd been sick a long time, you know. You know, God gives us the grace and the means to do it. All right, there's a dividing line. Those who do, those who do not. All right, the Lord has brought up this up to me on several occasions. I personally believe that this is where we sit in time. The Lord has been telling us that it is time to get in the boat and the rain is starting. God is shutting the door soon. When God shuts the door, there's no opening it, just like with the virgins. The New Jerusalem revealed. Many are going to be shocked by the revelation of the true Israel and the exposure of the fake Rothschild operation called Israel. The thief that tried to come in some other way. The paid-off pro-Israel pastors will also be shown for the wolves in sheep clothing that they are. All will see when they do not have on a wedding garment. In Revelation, Jesus is talking to John about some of their churches and the infiltration of the wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm not going to go heavy into this, but I'm going to look right quick in Revelation chapter 2. There's several churches that he calls out. The first one is Smyrna, I guess it's Smyrna. I don't know how else to say it. This is verse 9 of chapter 2. He says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. It wouldn't be surprising to me that they're not Freemason, because I know Freemasonry, it nearly took over Australia. I know Colonel Bosie's always talking about how Freemasonry is one of the biggest problems in Australia. All right. 2:13 here. This is Pergamos. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. He's calling this out. Thyatira. This is 19, verses 19 through 24 here. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience and thy works and the last be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou servest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. All right, the last one is Sardis, or wait a minute, let me look at 3:9. I guess that's Sardis, 3:9. Yes, it is, 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. All right, Jesus called out Satan's seat in these churches. Now, we may think, boy, they were awful, but you know what? I think it's worse today. That's one thing I say, Lord, let the pastors hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches today, where we're going. Okay, the parables of Jesus are showing us the ways of the kingdom and uncovers the imposters. I believe that this information alone will shake the church to its core. When they find out about the Freemasons, they find out about the children. Yeah. They find out about the true Israel. All right. I want to read to you, and then I'll come back here. This is the Balfour Declaration. This is just the letter. This is just a short version here of the letter. It's not the Balfour Declaration, but this was November 2nd, 1917, to Lord Rothschild. I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which have been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment of Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of coexisting non-Jewish communities in Palestine. That has been an absolute lie. Palestine has been nothing but imprisoned for decades. These people live in abject poverty. It's like a police state. And they're the ones that are being shown to be the evil ones. No, they're the true occupants of this land. Are the rights of political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country? I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. Yours sincerely, Author James Balfour. The thief, they came out by another way. It's totally infiltrated the church. If you dare challenge this, you are anti-Semitic. And there's a whole host of pastors in America that are, oh man, they get on that bandwagon, oh, you don't touch Israel. There's no other way but Jesus. And that isn't Jesus' way. I'm sorry. And I don't care who hears it. They need to take a second look and find out, who are you really serving? Because this is a satanic operation, a Freemason satanic operation. Doesn't get any more heinous. All right. God moved out of the box, never to return. He chose to move into the hearts of men through the new birth. This is the new Jerusalem. Jesus tried to explain this to his disciples. We're going to look at that, Matthew 24. You know, Jesus told us a lot before he went back. And if I can get it, so can anybody else. All right. This is 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And let them that which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, they pretty well have, haven't they? Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore I say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go out. Go not forth. Behold, he is not in the secret chamber. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. This is the marriage supper. All right. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power. This cannot be the rapture, because it says right here, they're going to mourn. This is where they're going to try to go for the holes and the rocks, try to get away from him. See, the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's not coming as a baby in the manger. He's coming on that as a warrior, as a king. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. This is Revelation chapter 7, if you want to go read it yourself, where he seals the Israel, the true Israel. All right. That's Revelation 7. I'll read just 30, a little bit of that, I guess. This is where he's sealing all the tribes, right here. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, or on the sea, or any tree. You'd think they'd read that and say, you know, there's no four corners on a globe. Anyway. So he seals them of each tribe. Okay. And on it goes. All right, I'm not going to read all of that. Okay, 21. Revelation 21. This talks about the New Jerusalem. Right here. I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven, first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. Yeah. There we are. There we are. All right.